Farmers are facing very wet field conditions and the delayed crop planting scenario. And so, first and foremost, let's start out, Kent. What are conditions like in the southern Minnesota area that you do cover and serve?
Well, for much of, especially the western half of south central Minnesota and most of southwest Minnesota, even up into southern parts of west central Minnesota, have been dealing with just extremely wet soil conditions, saturated soil conditions, and we continue to get these rainfall events. We did get probably, and depending where you were located, 3 to 4 day window last week to get some field work done, and there was a fair amount of corn planted in that period, at least in some areas. If you go across all of southern Minnesota, it probably rains. It's kind of like a checkerboard almost, how much planting is done. Some areas are 90%+ planted with corn and probably a third or better planted with soybeans, and then you get in other areas, and they're probably a third or less corn planted and no soybeans planted, and then you got everything in between there. So it's really hit and miss, but I would say as a whole, if you take especially south central and southwest Minnesota, we're behind the state average of 56% of the corn planted.
And so that brings up the next subject, I guess, Kent, is as crop producers face final planting dates for both corn and soybeans, there are many factors to consider when we look at prevented planting. And so can you break down some of those factors for us when farmers consider the prevent plant scenario?
Sure. Well, the first and most important thing is before you decide to go the route of prevented planting is to talk to your crop insurance agent, find out what type of coverage you have as far as percentage of coverage, eligible acres, what those payments would be. That's extremely important, and you do have to report within 72 hours if you are going to choose prevented planting to your crop insurance agent. The next thing is to be aware of the dates. They do vary. The first date for corn coming up here is May 25th, and that's the northern third of Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and most of North and South Dakota, except the southeast corners of both states. Then May 31st is the southern two-thirds of Minnesota, all of Iowa, and most of Wisconsin, and a few of those counties in southeast North and South Dakota. And then June 5th is kind of the eastern Corn Belt. When you get to soybeans, most counties in Minnesota, Nebraska, North and South Dakota is June 10th, June 15th, Iowa and southern Wisconsin, and then June 20th in the eastern Corn Belt. So once you hit those dates, you can choose to go to prevented planting, or you can also do a late planting. During the late planting period, it's 25 days beyond those dates I just mentioned, and there's only a loss of 1% per day in insurance coverage, because sometimes people, I think, assume that once you hit those final planting dates, you'll lose a big chunk of your insurance coverage, and you really don't. So, it still may be advisable with the rise we've had in corn prices here recently, and also soybeans, you can still get some pretty good yields with late planting, to still plant that crop after the final planting date, kind of looking at the economics. You can also switch to a second crop. Now, if you switch to a second crop, in other words, say grow soybeans instead of corn, then you lose your preventive planting coverage for your corn, and soybeans becomes the main insurable crop. So, those are some of the options that you have out there. Some things I think to pay attention to there. Now, the preventive planting coverage for corn is only 55% of the original insurance guarantee. For most farms, you're probably looking somewhere between, depending where you're located across the region, if you have 85% coverage, you're probably between $300 and $375 an acre in corn, and probably somewhere between $225 and $275 on soybeans. If you have only 75 or 80%, you're going to send that. And, of course, your APH yield comes into play there as well. You do have to have a minimum of 20% of your total acreage if you're on enterprise units, or 20 acres to be eligible to qualify. You can, you know, group parcels together, but you do have to meet that 20-acre, 20% threshold. Also, the most acres you can on a farm unit that you're eligible for is the maximum number of acres that you planted in the last 4 years. So, for example, if you had a 100-acre parcel and you were planning to plant all the corn in 19, but the most corn acres you planted in the last 4 years was 75 acres on that parcel, that would be the most corn acres eligible for prevented planting. So it's important to keep that in mind. There's some other things, I think, to keep in mind here as well. You know, enterprise units, if you're on enterprise units, you do have to have planted at least 20 acres or 20% of your crop on two different sections of land. Otherwise, you can still do preventive planting if you've planted nothing, but you would have to pay the higher premium coverage of either basic or optional units. You know, the economics of this are going to vary a lot from farm to farm depending on yields. I know one thing to check out with your crop insurance agent, if you've picked up some new land renting this year for the first time, to make kind of check with your insurance agent what the coverage level is on that. That can vary sometimes depending on what the previous renter did as far as crop insurance and verifying acreage and yield and that type of thing. But again, there's many, many variables out there. The biggest thing to do is to, again, work with your crop insurance agent, thoroughly understand the economics and numbers before you make a final decision.
So, Kent, as we go through all those numbers, and, you know, it's a lot to take in for farmers right now, I guess, what would be your biggest piece of advice?
You know, it really gets down, like on corn especially, a lot comes down to if you've already put inputs in. If you've, you know, it was very wet, especially here in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa last fall, so there wasn't a lot of, in some cases, fall tillage, not a lot of fall fertilizer put down. More and more farmers are going to spring applied fertilizer. So if you don't have the fertilizer input already on, it maybe gets a little easier to make that decision. If you've already put the fertilizer on, you got it some expense out there. Now, some of the P and K may carry over, but a lot of that nitrogen may not be around for next year's crop, especially in the wet soil conditions we've had and heavier rainfalls. So you got to kind of weigh that in and be realistic about the expectations and for yield. You know, again, as we get later, I think good to talk to your extension people, your agronomists, on what realistic yield expectations are. Most at this point, regardless kind of where you're located, you're probably looking at earlier season hybrids. Usually don't have the yield potential even in ideal conditions. So, you know, I think you got to look at that. And then, of course, you get into price. Now, we've had a little run-up here on price with corn in the last week or so, but if you aren't locking a price in, you got to kind of be realistic. And with soybeans, you know, at the current market prices, it's kind of hard. You can't really lock in a price on rented ground raising soybeans, and the preventive. So you kind of got to weigh that against taking that risk versus preventive planting. And we're a ways out yet for the preventive planted dates on soybeans, so I would guess farmers will still try to get it in. A couple other things I should mention on that is, as far as the new farm program, well, farmers will be signing up later this year for 19 and 20 for either the price loss coverage or ARC County program. Whether you choose preventive planting or not is not going to affect that decision. That's based on historical crop base acres. The one thing that's kind of dicey right now, of course, is the market facilitation payments. Sounds like there will be another round of payments. USDA is kind of continues to say that whatever decision they make on that will not influence the planted acres for this year, which tends to indicate then that they're not going to base it totally on 2019 production if they're going to announce it now and not wait till after all the crops are planted, which is kind of what they're getting, what the thought is anyway, that we're sooner than later we're going to hear how that formula is. So again, I think we got some time yet, especially on the soybeans, because that certainly could have a big impact on soybean acres if you had to actually grow the soybeans and have the crop planted to be eligible for those payments. So I guess that's a wait and see here day to day on till we hear from USDA how that's calculated.